Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I am your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at North Point Executive Suites. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We have an awesome interview coming up and want to let you know that you can follow us live on Twitter. Follow at North Fulton BRX, and you'll see live tweets of us here in studio, and follow along and tweet us back. We love it. Before we jump into today's interview, I wanted to share something that came up today. So I love quotes, like inspirational quotes. And I shared a quote on my personal Instagram and Facebook today, and it got a lot of response. So I wanted to share it with you guys. And the quote is, "If you tone it down, life can't hear you." And I love that so much because I see a lot of people holding back sometimes and, you know, really showing up and letting the world know what they can do. They feel like they don't want to brag about themselves. They feel like people will perceive them, you know, kind of sharing their successes as a negative. And I come at it from a completely different point of view. I'm like, I want to see you shining. Show me how far you can go. That motivates me to push myself farther. And I feel like the brighter you shine, the more everyone shines. So I love that quote. I was so happy that it, you know, it resonated with me and then it resonated with so many other people. So just keep that in mind today. Don't tone it down because then people can't hear you. So bring it and live life out loud, I guess. So jumping into today's interview, we have here in studio, John Mammon, who's the CEO of Empowered IT. He also chairs the Tech 400 Committee with the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce. He has over 20 years of experience in IT engineering, sales, working with startup companies and divisions. And he's here to tell us about several different, you know, ventures that he has going on. So, John, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I love your quote, by the way.
Thank you. What does it kind of like bring up for you?
I do think that a lot of people just, what it makes me think about is many people don't really just take that step. You know, they out of just whether it's fear or some apprehension they might have, you know, they don't take, you know, steps forward. And, you know, I'm often find myself, you know, needing somebody to hold me back.
So, you're so, the opposite.
But, yeah, exactly. So, but I think it's a great quote, you know, it's just for people to just, you know, like, I love the live life out loud. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Good. Well, let's talk about how you're living life out loud. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm in the middle of what you would probably refer to as early stage in my second managed services provider. I had one with a partner here in the Atlanta area. We grew to one of the top three in the area, and then we were acquired in 2011. So I did a few years with that organization and decided that my real passion was just working with small businesses and small business owners and leading people, and that was something that I'd sort of gotten away from. So I started Empowered IT with that in mind.
Fantastic. And what year did you start Empowered IT?
2014. We really didn't start selling until early 2015.
Love it. And tell us a little bit about what Empowered IT does for its clients.
So Rev2, if you will, we, in essence, we become the IT department for small and medium businesses. So organizations, you know, we're a big proponent of outsourcing what's not your core. You know, if you're a manufacturer, your business is manufacturing, it's not dealing with IT, it's not dealing with accounting, things like that. So we really encourage, you know, organizations to focus on their core mission. So we try to enable them to do that, which is why we have Enable Your Mission as our tagline. We want to help them in the areas of technology. So if you think about the entire delivery stack from an IT perspective of large enterprises, help desk services, sysadmin services, network operations, security operations, which is a big topic right now, and then, you know, the C-level, providing strategy and direction. Those are all things that we do for a fixed monthly fee for our clients. And there really is no client that is too small or too large for that matter. But we generally work with small businesses, you know, sub 100 employees, unless they are engaging us for what you might refer to as just spot solutions. So as companies get larger, they may have existing IT departments or may need ancillary services that, you know, an IT person can't provide, like backup and disaster recovery, like managed security, cloud services, things like that. So that's kind of actually the entire suite of what we offer and what we do for customers.
I love it. So everything from kind of like those proactive, you know, trying to prevent hacking and keeping everything secure to don't throw your laptop out the window, call us kind of stuff.
Exactly. And everything in between.
Good. So how did you get started in that arena?
Years ago, we got back into IT. I actually did a little stint. A lot of people don't know. I did a little stint in the restaurant business for a period of time, but then went back into IT and just rose through the ranks very quickly. And what I didn't realize until actually very recently was that I was always involved with organizations that were either starting up a division or actually it's a startup company.
Yeah.
At one point somebody said, "Hey, you're an entrepreneur." And I said, "No, I'm not." And then I realized after some, you know, self-examination that in fact that I really was. And that's something that really motivates me and, you know, excites me, gets me out of bed every morning. So I spent a lot of time with service providers specifically. So servicing customers, creating services that met the needs of customers has always been something that I have been very passionate about and been heavily involved in. Going back to 2001 timeframe, I had the opportunity at another startup that was venture-backed to meet what would be my eventual business partner in the first company. And he brought me in to help grow sales. And we really hit it off and, you know, had this vision for providing fixed fee outsourced IT services, you know, just a paradigm changing service. At the time, you know, hourly services were really pervasive in the area, kind of the same way you would engage a lawyer or, you know, pay time and material for services, things like that.
Yeah.
So we were really one of the first to be out trying to educate customers that there was a better way to engage in that fixed fee model. So, and we did very well with that. And I believe wholeheartedly that it is the best solution for the customers in the area of IT for sure.
Well, and especially for the small businesses where budgeting is, you know, I mean, month to month is so critical. And if you're going to engage and then all of a sudden you get this invoice that's three times what you were anticipating, that can really kill a small business sometimes.
It can. And, you know, what organizations, and nowadays, you know, most small companies understand that this is the best way to go. You know, we're way past the education stage. We're actually approaching more of a commodity type service when it comes to managed services today. But, you know, there's still a lot of people who just don't understand that paying for services on a monthly basis is actually to your benefit in that you would rather write a check and have no problems than to be in a time and material relationship where you're constantly calling for help. So the idea really is, from our perspective as a managed service provider, it's an actuarial model. There's going to be months that I don't make anything because there's problems in your account. There's going to be months that, you know, we win and there's, you know, there are really no problems, but that's what you really want.
Right.
The true win-win relationship is when everything's running smooth, you never hear from us because there's no problems in IT and you're just writing a check for that service every month. So that's where it's truly a win-win.
Right. Well, in that long-term relationship, because by entering into this fixed fee model, you're agreeing to this, you know, long-term relationship, which means that you already, you know, you get to know the business. You get to know how they're set up. You get to know what their goals are. So you can start to make recommendations for them. You can, you know, really be a partner to them. And then when you have those events that it's like that firestorm, there's not all this, let me bring you up to speed so that then you can be effective. You already know the ins and outs. So you can get right to work.
That's absolutely true. And you're touching on one of the differentiating factors in empowered IT, because a lot of service providers really miss this. They don't provide that C-level strategic relationship that is so important to the long-term health of that relationship with the end user customer, right? Understanding their business is absolutely key. Not just understanding where the computers are stored and, you know, where the server lives and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but really truly understanding the customer's business so that you can help them take advantage of technology that's available and help them continue to advance the ball. Make sure that the technology is helping them grow their business and certainly not costing them, you know, talking to them about the options that are available. And you can only do that with that long-term relationship and really spending time on the strategy side. And that's, again, something that a lot of service providers just don't do well. There's probably only a handful in the Atlanta area that truly do that well. And we like to count ourselves as one of those. And it's all about relationship. We're a very relationship-driven organization. So it's way beyond, you know, how fast do you get here when my computer's not working right?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
it's way beyond that.
Right. Well, I mean, you've built two businesses yourself. So, mm-hmm. you know, can really put yourself in their shoes. I love it. All right. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. We're here with John Mammon, the CEO of Empowered IT. And John, you and I actually connected through Tech 400.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We did.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Tech 400? Because obviously you're highly involved being the leader of that initiative.
Yeah. So Tech 400 is the technology committee within the Greater North Fulton Chamber. It's a real strategic initiative for them. It's a critical component of what they're doing. Our mission is to educate the North Fulton business community on what's going on in the world of technology. So we do that through a series of events, we just had a cybersecurity symposium. We're having a couple of tech showcases. We have one coming up here in April at Peak 10. So we take those events and we try to really educate the Greater North Fulton community. What's going on out there? How can they take advantage of these things in their business? What are things they should be watching out for and things like that? So it's a complementary mission to some of the other technology organizations in the area. And we're hoping to actually bridge those relationships as well to create even a stronger presence.
Fantastic. And I had the pleasure of attending the Tech Connect monthly mm-hmm. event that you guys have. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Tech Connect is a networking opportunity once a month at the Greater North Fulton Chamber for technology professionals. Gives them the opportunity to come together, pitch their business very quickly, sit around a table and network a little more intimately than you might in a large group setting. You sit at an individual table with a half a dozen folks and, you know, just tell each one of those people about your business and they do the same. And so it's been really great so far, had very good attendance and the feedback has been exceptionally positive. So we're hoping to continue to grow that for technology professionals in the area.
I mean, it's really a fantastic event. Alpharetta has so many technology companies, and with that, so many people who are skilled in, you know, various elements of technology. And so that place, you know, Tech Connect, for people to come and you get put in these small groups where you really get to have like a one-on-one dialogue with, you know, just a couple of people. Everyone is speaking your language. You're not having to dumb it down. You know, everyone knows what you do. They can have an intelligent conversation. So it's a great place to make connections, network. If you're a job seeker or you're looking for skilled people to come on board or different opportunities, I would say it's one of the best places in Alpharetta, in North Fulton to check out. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for synergy there. So if you're a technology professional, I'd certainly encourage you to check that out.
And where can people go to learn more about Tech Connect?
The Greater North Fulton website, gnfcc.com.
Okay.
There's information there. And of course, contacting the chamber directly will help them as well.
Right. And I believe they started posting events on Facebook too. So you can follow them on Facebook and you'll see the events get posted there and check them out for sure.
There's actually a meetup group as well, which if you're a member of that, you get reminder emails and other things. And that is Tech 400. I think you just search on Tech 400 in meetup. Mm-hmm. I confess I'm not absolutely certain what to search for, but I'm pretty sure it's Tech 400.
You'll get there.
Yeah. Good. You'll find it.
I love it.
But I would definitely get on that because you not only will hear about the Tech Connect groups when they're meeting and so forth, but you'll also hear mm-hmm. about the different events that Tech 400 has coming up. So great, great thing to be a part of.
Well, thank you so much for, helping to lead the charge on bringing forward these events for, the North Fulton tech community. What inspired you to get involved with Tech 400?
That was just I think circumstance, really. I'd like to say it was something more elegant than that. But, you know, I did join the chamber, Empowered IT joined the chamber. And I'm kind of an all in or not in kind of person. And we might touch on that a little more mm-hmm. in a little while. It's actually a chapter in the book that's coming out. But, you know, if I'm going to be involved and, you know, I'm going to do it all the way kind of thing. And at the time, Tech 400 was called Tech Forum. And it was kind of struggling a little bit with, you know, direction and leadership and so forth. And after spending some time in the group, just as timing would have it, Deborah asked me to get involved from a leadership perspective. And so I took on that challenge. I think I've already shared, you know, part of what makes me go is leading and leading people and help coaching and pulling things together and turning things into successes. And so at the time, the Tech Forum, now Tech 400, just kind of like fed into, you know, what really motivates me. So it's been just an awesome ride, and I'm enjoying every minute of it, and trying to take the organization to the next level, and again, start to bridge some of the relationships of other organizations in the area. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to sing its praises because, you know, you go to different networking events and sometimes you're like, ugh, you know, I don't really get a good vibe. But all of the Tech 400 events that I have been to, I mean, I walk in, I remember my very first one. I'm like, I don't even know how many people I'll know here. I walked in and it was just such a warm welcome and people saying, oh, let me introduce you to so-and-so. I mean, it's a good group. The leadership that you have it's a wonderful committee that you've put together. And then just the people that you attract to the events are, you know, definitely high quality. So I'm just putting that out there. And he didn't pay me to do that, by the way.
Thank you.
good. Well, so you helped me out putting in a segue into your book. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of inspired around the topic of customer service, right?
That's right. It's actually all about customer service.
I think that is a great topic for us to kind of, you know, work on the second half of this interview, because customer service is something that a lot of startups, I mean, might not have experience with. They handle it on a case-by-case basis. They don't really have a strategy. And you've been in this for, you know, 2 decades. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the key elements of this book that you want to share with us today? What are some tips, advice that you can impart, wisdom?
Yeah, I would say the book itself is called The Extra Scoop. And it is all based on the analogy of the, you know, old-time ice cream cart guy, you know, and how he differentiated himself from other ice cream carts, right?
You know, so an ice cream fan?
I am. can you not tell? I try to stay away from it. But there's actually a really great story about it in the book, that it was a story that was told to me in a very early stage in my career about taking care of customers. And that's how that analogy has stuck with me. Mm-hmm. That story, that parable, if you will, has stuck with me. So, you know, we talk about, you know, what are the extra scoops, right? You know, having employees that act like the owners, as an example. Things like, you know, just, you know, the basics, right? A lot of a book is all about, you know, that's not rocket science. There isn't some magic formula to providing great customer service. It's really about, you know, good old-fashioned, you know, manners and, you know, things that, you know, we nowadays maybe don't practice or take for granted. So, mm-hmm. you know, acting like the owner, you know, having good manners when you're dealing with somebody on the phone, getting away from automation and scripts is a big, you know, chunk of the book, and getting back to, you know, people, you know, and actually being able to interact and communicate with people. So those are a few different, just a few topics that, you know, I touch on, and just why it's, you know, why it's probably not the best thing to continue to do, and also talk about things that you should be doing throughout the book. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be difficult because there are so many things that are showing up for business owners to automate some mm-hmm. elements of their customer service. And people don't always like that so much.
Yeah, and especially in the arena of technology. I mean, this is where, unfortunately, it really starts to fall apart. Because I don't, whether it is because, you know, it's a cost savings measure, and I do talk about some of how we got here in the book, but, you know, whether it's a cost savings measure or because as technologists, we think that we can process out people, right? And so you kind of move away from, again, that personal interaction and helping you feel like man, this is the greatest decision that I ever made. And I'm glad I got to call today, even though you called about a problem. Mm-hmm. That's an art in and of itself. And actually, the subtitles rediscover the lost art of customer service, right? So, you know, being able to make people feel good about, you know, the buying decision that they made after the fact is super critical. And again, in the area of technology, we seem to, maybe it was because we were the first ones, I think, to jump to the offshore call centers and, you know, develop the telecommunication systems that, you know, gave you the press one for kind of stuff mm-hmm. that, you know, it just really moved us away from, you know, taking care of the customer and, you know, the customer's always right. And just basic principles that, you know, we no longer really practice, at least not on a large scale. Some companies do it absolutely great.
What are some companies you look up to when it comes to customer service?
The first one that jumps to mind is Apple. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you know, I tell, there's a lot of stories in the book. So a lot of it is, you know, I tell some stories that were not really great experiences, whether those were mine or some people that I interviewed or contributed. And then I tell stories of, you know, some people that got it right in, you know, particular instances. So Apple's fabulous. You know, we think of Apple as a technology company, and they are, of course. And, you know, they make the great iPhones and they make the great computers and everything else that they do. And they're very innovative and so forth. But one of their real strengths and the reason that they have the allegiance and the following that they have, and particularly over all these years, because they weren't, you know, always this strong from a technology perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went through a period where they were really reinventing themselves. Mm-hmm. But the reason they have this following and this allegiance and these people that I will never own anything but an Apple product. Yeah, you've got them. I mean, there you go. Is because of the way that they take care of their customers. Amazon's another one. I mean, it blows my mind how great they are at customer service, mm-hmm. particularly given the breadth of offerings that they have. You know, it's they're just absolutely fabulous at customer service, and it's head and shoulders above many, many other organizations. The difference in an Amazon and Apple and other organizations who maybe don't have that kind of experience, mm-hmm. you know, or deliver that kind of experience is really just fundamental principles, right? It's manners, it's connecting with your end users, it's, you know, the fact that you just take into a you just have the mindset. They're always right. Doesn't matter if they are or not.
Right.
But they are always right. The customer is always right. So.
Well, and, you know, there's a quote, and I will be paraphrasing, but, you know, that your angriest customer is your biggest opportunity. So there's a lot to be learned from them. And to say, you know, the customer is always right, that's not, to me, it's not that you're necessarily just giving in to your customer's wants all the time, but it means that obviously, something along their experience with you upset them. You have to like give credit to they had a bad experience and learn from it. So they are right because they got obviously very heated over something that actually happened. So and don't just dismiss it. Learn from it. Inquire. Ask questions. And that will probably be a chance for you to up level. You know, however you're serving your customers in the future.
I talk about that in the book. You know, there are folks out there that are just plain unreasonable, right? I mean, but by and large, and those are the exception, by and large, most customers who are not happy, you know, have a very good reason to not be happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether or not you feel like, you know, and as whether you're the owner or the customer service delivery manager or whatever, whether or not you feel like you have done everything that you could do, there's something there to really, you know, look at. And, you know, I'm a proponent, too, of lessons learned. So whenever you have a situation like that, whether a process went off the rails and something didn't happen the way it should, or a customer just plain isn't happy with something that you've done for them, there's a lesson to be learned there. So it's important, like you said, to get very introspective and be very honest and look really hard in the mirror and say, okay, this happened. I can't change that it happened, but what can I learn from it so that in the future I can deliver a better experience for the customer? And that's how, that's part of, you know, that's our number one core value is to deliver a great experience to our customers. And we don't get that right every single time in our business. That's very hard to do. But we work very hard to try to get it right every time. And when we don't, we own it, we're accountable, And we work to make changes so we don't make that mistake in the future. And I think that by itself, again, is something that separates us from a lot of the other providers in Atlanta.
Right. All about learning those lessons along the way.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you have built two businesses. What are some lessons that you would love to share with those that are in the early stages of a startup?
I would say there's probably one of the biggest ingredients is persistence. You know, it's really, you know, just keep getting up every day and hopping on the ladder and grabbing the next rung.
Yes.
I talk about, you know, the next rung on the ladder a lot personally. And I think that it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, not every person is cut out to be an entrepreneur. But if that's something that, you know, that's an itch you have to scratch, that's something you want to get out and do. You have to go all in. You absolutely do. And again, that's another little section in the book is the all in or not in thing. But you know, you have to be, you know, prepared to, you know, get up and do whatever it takes, whether that's vacuum the rug or, you know, make the sales call or talk to the angry customer or whatever it is that, you know, you have to do that day. Get up and, you know, be prepared to do it and put in that and be persistent. You know, there's, you know, there may be long stretches where you don't get any time off, and there will definitely be
long stretches.
I'm trying not to discourage anybody out there, but it could be years, right? You know, so, you know, you might have long stretches where there's no time off, long stretches where money's just not there. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for, you know, discouragement. So my encouragement is to, you know, just get up every day, you know, persistent and knowing that you're just going to make it happen that day, you know, and be all in. My other piece of advice would be, if you're an entrepreneur and you're starting a business, even at early stage, if you don't have an advisory board, you need to get one. Particularly in my case, you know, it's just me. I don't have a business partner on this go round. Mm-hmm. So having a group of people that I am accountable to, particularly if you're a small office, right? If you're just 2, 3, 4 people, it means you've got to be able to get out and get in front of some, you know, some executives that are going to hold you accountable for what, for your performance or lack thereof, right? And also, you know, to provide ideas, to make connections for you, whether that's banking, legal, sales, whatever it might be, and also to potentially even, you know, offer you leads, right? I mean, they may know people that need your service. So if you don't have an advisory board, I really, really strongly encourage people to get one. And in this area in particular, in the greater North Fulton area, there are so many executives out there that want to give back, and you know, we're not talking about, you know, having to put them on payroll, right? I mean, these are people that are, you know, willing to, you know, mentor and meet regularly and help you move forward. There's so many of them in the area. So no reason not to get out and have that advisory board in place.
I love it. And what that really, you know, speaks to as well is the openness to be transparent, you know, and let people see behind the curtain of your business and let them know what's going on so that they can help you. You've got to, you know, not hold it so close to the vest like a lot of people, especially solopreneurs, like to do. You have to be willing to share that idea, share what's going on so that people can help you. So I love that advice. Good. Well, John, as we wrap here, I want to know, when is this book coming out?
It's due out in April. So okay. I'm hoping we're in the very last stage of getting it published. So I'm hoping before the 15th. I think we're targeting the 7th, but that might be a 1 week aggressive. We'll see.
Okay.
But definitely
that
early part
fast.
Of April.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, if anyone is interested in connecting with your company, they can go to Empowered IT. That's the letter M, poweredit.com. Anywhere else that they should follow you, connect with you?
I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn. Please feel free to connect with me. Love to see you out at the chamber at some point. But if we can help you in any way at Empowered, certainly would love to hear from you. We'll be announcing the release of the book here on all media channels. So stay tuned for that.
Can't wait. All right, John, thank you so much for being here on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's my pleasure to be here, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. And just want to remind you that today is a great day to face forward, live your life out loud, and mastermind your launch.